The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Pat, all this week, lots of texts. If Micheál Martin dresses up as a leprechaun with a red wig and a green suit and does a little jig in the Oval Office, that should do it, Ivan. A lot of people saying Keith Walsh is 100% right. I live in a rural town. The parade happens. They all go to the pub and get so drunk, vomiting all over the streets, spilling the takeaways onto the street, having street sweepers to clean up their mess the next day. I drive a taxi and I see people drinking alcohol more on St. Patrick's Day, so I agree with your guest that making St. Patrick synonymous with drinking is not a noble way. Tony says this lad is out of touch with reality. If he thinks most people go to Mass on St. Patrick's Day, well, actually, he didn't make that point, but just because he doesn't mean Mass is not well attended on St. Patrick's Day. Keep your texts coming, 53106. Now, when it comes to sitting down for a dinner party at you or someone else's house, what are the topics to avoid talking about? What will silence the table with awkwardness? Well, iPaper this morning lists some of the things to avoid, such as what's your salary, politics, weight. But even still, sometimes you just want to know. Well, who better than Brenda Power, columnist with the Sunday Times and Daily Mail and barrister, is here to chat with us about what you can't say at the dinner table. Good morning. How are you, Brenda?
I'm good, Ivan. How are you?
Great.
Good to be with you. Yeah, I saw that list in the iPaper. I mean, that's more like a job interview. You know, what savings do you have? How much debt have you got? How much is your salary? You would have to put a gun to an Irish person's head to get them to answer any of those. And you'd never dream of raising those topics at a dinner party or anywhere else if you wanted to be asked back. I mean, it's always been said that the three topics you should avoid in polite company, especially if you don't know the people very well, sex, religion and politics. I mean, I don't know what else you could possibly talk about if those were off the agenda. But, you know, I mean, money, you'd never ask anybody how much they were earning for a start. You might find some other way of winkling that out of them by asking them maybe what level they were at in the company. And, oh, I know somebody who works there. Do you know him or whatever? But and things like weight are this one of the questions they suggest is don't ask anybody, are you on a Ozempic? I have to say, I asked somebody that once jokingly and it turned out that he was. But anyway, I think.
And how did they react? Were they private about it or did they not care?
Quite happy to say, yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever had an awkward situation where you thought it was a matter of conversation and actually, like, Trump would be a typical one where, you know, 99% of people will just be, you know, over the top. He's, you know, an ogre. He's a liar. He's blah, blah, blah. So would you think Trump is a safe subject or not?
Not necessarily. If you see, you know, I mean, I've been in company where someone said, you know, Trump is right about some things. And that can cause a chilly hush to descend on the table, given the company you might be in. So I think even that, even though he has, you're right, generally, sort of given rise to sort of unanimity around most tables, you'd still want to be careful about what elements of his policies and beliefs that you might be willing to endorse, really.
Now, where would you go on gossip? Did you hear about Mary? The husband has left her. You know,
that's
gossip is salacious. I'm in favour of that, really.
You are or you're not?
Oh, I am. Oh, that adds to your USP. If you know, wait till I tell you about your man. You know what I mean? Especially if you say things about politicians that they don't want to know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's true or not, you know.
Ivan, he's always a great source of gossip. Yeah, I that is always a good selling point, except you want to be sure of the company that you're sharing it in, just in case somebody knows the person or knows more about them than you do or knows it to be untrue. So I think, yeah, gossip, again, you'd want to be pretty careful. Although I did read somewhere that apparently gossip was essential to our evolution, Ivan, because you needed to know who was in favour with the chief, who was, you know, out of favour.
Sure.
You know, that gossip actually serves a useful evolutionary purpose. You can always try arguing that when you've been caught spreading a salacious piece of totally untrue gossip at a dinner party.
I have a theory, and now I'm talking about social circles outside of Dublin now, that dinner parties have almost died a death insofar as, so eating out for a big group is expensive. First of all, you tend to have family meals. Like I have four going on, five grandchildren, and you'd eat at 6 o'clock. And that is, you know, such a kind of event in terms of just industrially looking after them and all the rest of them. There's quite big numbers involved with in-laws and outlaws. That's one thing that, you know, there's only so much catering capacity in any household. The second thing is that, will they ever go home? Like, I actually think dinner parties should end at about 11:30, certainly 12 o'clock. People think once they get ensconced, they can stay till 2 in the morning. No, they can't.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, that's why I kind of maybe prefer going to other people's houses, so you can say, look, is that the time? But I think dinner parties in the sort of the old sense have died out. People don't come to your house for fine dining, you know, hopefully. They come just to be fed and have a chat around a bowl of pasta or whatever. I'd say those are my favourite types of dinner parties. It sounds a bit posh to even call them dinner parties. Go in someone's house to eat where there's minimum fuss. So you don't feel, if I have to return the favour, I'm expected to roll out a beef bourguignon and whatever.
Beef Wellington and all. And I tell you, do people critique the food? You know, when you make a special effort and you've got a salmon mousse starter and you've gone to an awful trouble to make a roulade, and people say, well, it was this and that and there wasn't a choice and the cheese was average. You know, I mean, like would you bother?
Nah. I don't think so. I don't think so. Once it's at all edible, I mean, unless the person has a reputation for turning out gourmet food and, you know, you get a bowl of Weetabix or whatever. But I mean, I think generally speaking, people go to each other's house because, as you say, it is really expensive to eat out now. It does actually make more sense to have people around and say, look, don't expect much. I'm going to throw on a bit of pasta, a bit of cheese, glass of wine. If you're cool with that, you're welcome. But if you're expecting a cordon bleu, four courses, I think you're coming to the wrong place. So, I mean, I think, and then, of course, people have invested in their kitchens. You know, people have nice kitchens, nice worktops, nice islands and stoves and things. They're quite happy to have people come in and
oh, the host with the most? Oh, is that the scenario we're dealing with? Like keeping up appearances, Madame Bouquet? Tell me about food allergies. Is it like, should you ask people if they have food allergies or just suck it up and eat what you're given?
If you ask, everybody has a food allergy. Everybody has something that they can't eat. That's the most annoying thing. I was at a dinner party one time where somebody at a dinner party, say it was just people eating, somebody said, you know, I think that veganism is an eating disorder. And someone, of course, pipes up, well, actually, I'm vegan for ethical reasons. I mean, I think if you ask now, there's always somebody around the table who can't eat this or won't eat this or has an allergy. She said, I don't mean, you just leave it or shut up and eat it or whatever.
But what about finally, I mean, religious question, like if you were to say, right, so you can't talk about organised, just say, what do you think happens when you die?
That's fair enough. I actually was at a lunch with friends recently. We went at 4 o'clock, didn't finish till midnight because we got into that question. What do you think happens?
It sounds like you got into 10 bottles of wine.
That did help. Okay. Sort of lubricate the conversation. Already.
So what you're saying is an absolute iron rule is don't ask any personal finance questions.
Don't ask personal finance questions. Don't ask, why aren't you married? When are you getting married?
Or a young couple who are married for 5 years and don't have a child. Like when are you, that's another big
one. Never broach that. Yeah. But also never say when's the baby due unless, you know, the woman is actually visibly in labour, honestly.
Yeah.
I've seen people do that. It's a major faux pas.
Oh, like the ground would swallow you up. You know what I mean? For both parties. All right. Brenda Power, who is probably the most dined person in the country, I guess. Columnist with the Sunday Times and Daily Mail. Thank you for that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.